You know, when it comes to wireless carriers, sometimes what you see isn't always what you get, except with Visible. With Visible, what you see is exactly what you get. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. With Visible, there are no hidden fees, no fine print, no hassle, nothing to hide. It's just $25 a month, all taxes and fees included. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. You can save on a line all to yourself with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And again, just $25 a month. The future of wireless is here, and it is transparent. If you want more transparency in your wireless plan, you want to be on the Visible plan. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. That's Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. This episode of GameScoop is sponsored by Squarespace. If you're looking for a way to make your business stand out and succeed online, Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for you. They take the stress out of creating an awesome website, engaging with your audience, and selling anything from products to content to time, so you're able to focus on, you know, everything else. In other words, you'll have more time for gaming. With the new guided design system, you can choose from curated layouts and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, optimized for every device. And with Squarespace's integrated, optimized SEO tools, you'll show up more often to more people. Squarespace doesn't just make things easier for you. Checkout for your customers is made seamless with simple but powerful payment tools that allow you to accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. So whether you're just starting out or looking to expand your existing brand, be sure to visit squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/gamescoop to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/gamescoop for 10% off. Come get some.
Beware, I live. IGN GameScoop.
I'm not feeling it.
No?
It's not happening.
Let me try again.
No.
No,
that was better. Second time was a little better, but still lacking.
I don't know. I thought the first one was okay.
It didn't make me want to get.
It was kind of it was industrial.
I liked it better when you were just. I liked it when you were doing justice. Can you do that again? Now I want to hear. I want to hear the DJ Hero mix. He's like, fix up, look sharp. What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN GameScoop. And now here's your host, British Ryan Clements.
Oh, hello there. My name is Ryan Clements. I'm part of IGN.com. Welcome to IGN's GameScoop. Today I'm joined by Damon Hatfield.
Hi, Ryan. Happy to be here.
Oh, thank you very much. Nate Ahern.
Hi.
Hello. Also, we have Anthony Hagos.
You're very charming when you talk like this.
Thank you very much. My mother trained me to be this way.
She trained you to be this way.
I'm feeling a little goofy because it's Friday. It's almost time to go.
I feel good.
I'm ready to
goofy.
Go out and get crunked.
Yeah, let's get crunked tonight.
Let's get some
maybe.
Crunk juice.
Man,
I wish I could go out and get crunked tonight.
Do you have to? Well, what time do you leave tomorrow?
Time,
early. I go to Germany tomorrow, and Anthony will be joining me on Sunday.
Sunday, yeah.
Sunday night is when you get into to Cologne.
Right? Oh yeah, my trip to Germany is going to be so hellish.
Yeah,
it's awful. I leave at 2:30 p.m. Saturday. I land in Germany at 11 p.m. Sunday.
And you have a 7-hour layover in London or something?
Yes. Yeah.
That's 7 hours.
Yeah, but it's because I'm going to London afterwards, so I finagle my trip a little weirdly. But so it'll be cool that I get to go and hang out with my friend in London afterwards. But getting there is going to suck so royally. It's going to be terrible. I'm going to have a DS and Super Scribble Knots to play.
Yeah, what's up? That battery is only going to last about 8 hours, if that.
Yeah,
so it's probably 6 or 7 tops.
Well, I've got an iPhone that'll last me another hour and a half at least.
I can't see Anthony. Here we go. Move this. There we go. No, you're fine.
Anthony, are you excited to go to Germany?
I am excited to go to Germany.
First of all, let me cut you off. I have not introduced the members of this week's show. With me this week is Nate Ahern.
Yes, hello everybody. Great to be here.
I kind of introduced him.
Yeah, he went through this.
Oh yeah, you did. I'm sorry. Yeah. We're all cut up then. But British Ryan Clements caught
us up. It was the British version of the introductions.
Has Anthony ever been on GameScoop before?
He has been.
Okay, excellent.
Times. Oh, Damon.
Yeah.
I passed Jeff Haynes in the rankings, right?
Yeah, I was on that, right?
Yes. Let me find you here.
I was like 20 something.
With the rankings of what? The rankings of what?
Of how many times people have GameScoop. Appeared
so you
on
were at 21, and then you tied Jeff Haynes. Yeah.
And now you're ahead of them.
How
now
many
you're
times one, have now I been on? Now what's my
well,
mark?
This is a few weeks old now, but you were at 12 episodes last, so you've probably been on 13 or 14.
13 or 14?
Yeah.
All right.
That's good.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Anthony. Looking forward to Germany.
Yes, looking forward to Germany. Looking forward to seeing Bioshock Infinite for myself, because I know that that's going to be there.
That'll be cool.
So.
Yeah.
But not looking forward, sorry to interrupt, not looking forward to the lots of beer and meat.
Yeah, well, I was told that in particular, Cologne,
you neither drink
Cologne,
nor eat meat?
Cologne has a ton of Turkish Correct. People, and so I can expect to find an abundance of Mediterranean food.
Oh, nice.
Oh, okay.
So
that'll suit you.
I'll be living off falafel
this
and
is your
hummus.
First Gamescom. I've never been.
Yeah.
I've never been either. I'm jealous.
I will be drinking Anthony's portion of beer.
Yeah. Excellent. I have faith in you.
You guys have to take lots of pictures. Lots and
okay.
lots of pictures.
Okay. We will.
you sounded like my mom. Oh. Make sure you take pictures for us.
Okay. Moving on.
You whack job.
Yeah, you mentioned Bioshock Infinite. That was just announced this week. This is in development by Irrational, the guys that made the first Bioshock. And I know there's a trailer, a pretty cool trailer.
The trailer's awesome. It's 2.5 minutes. And the game doesn't come out until 2012. And
it, I mean, 2012? That's
yeah.
how far off?
2012, yeah.
2012, yeah. Irrational's taking their time.
I've only seen flashes of this trailer. Describe to me this trailer in detail.
I mean, the biggest thing is that you're now on an aircraft.
Yeah.
You know, it's
not a series of floating
right.
parts
it's
of the city.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Which is, and it's a whole new engine, whole new graphics engine that they've built specifically for this game. What are the characters? You know, I didn't really...
You play as like a detective who's looking for a woman
okay.
who's gone missing in this city. And so you find your way onto the city and... I don't know. Then the adventure begins.
I mean, have telekinesis. Really,
the really, adventure
well,
begins.
Well,
it's like Remo Williams, really.
I mean, it'd be foolish for us to sit here and think that it's just going to be like a Bioshock clone, because I guarantee there will be things that they're holding out on us. Like,
oh,
this
yeah.
is like the first announcement. It's
course,
not coming
yeah.
out to 2012. Like, there's going to be such
well,
crazy stuff.
Well, remember how water plays such a huge role. It's going to be, they have to incorporate air or some,
or the
some
fact
kind
that
of
you're
gravity
floating in a,
or
you're,
flying.
You have a Z space that you're working in now,
right,
too. Yeah.
Right.
From what I've heard, Clayman was describing that you actually have some sort of grappling hook technology and you're going to be like ziplining from portion to portion of these different floating city
platform.
Buildings.
That's cool.
Which could be neat.
I hope they incorporate double rainbows this time around.
Double rainbow!
I love Nate's impression. But...
cool. So, yeah, I do hope we get to see more of that.
I'm sure we will. I mean, we'll probably just get to see what everyone else got to see.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
finally, we'll get to see it first.
What our own dearly departed Dave Clayman got to see.
I know.
Yes.
I was going to say, if you
week.
Hadn't read the preview yet, to go do it because it's written by our...
He's still alive.
Beloved Dave Clayman.
But he's departed our presence.
Yes.
Yeah. Who's breathing into their mic?
Yes.
Who is it? Who's that? Who's doing that?
It might be me. It might be me.
Are you?
I think it might be.
All right. Yeah. Let's move on. No. Who's doing that?
I don't know. I can't tell.
I can move mine in case it was me.
Now, everybody inhale. Now, exhale slowly. Well, that doesn't help us. Let's exhale slowly one at a time.
Here. I just moved my mic. I think it was me.
Okay. Okay.
I think we're okay.
All right, here we go.
Yeah.
NPD numbers this week.
Yes.
Xbox 360 on top in hardware. That doesn't happen very often.
Not only does that happen.
It hasn't in a while, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, but on top of Wii as well. That's
yeah.
the thing.
And, well,
right.
NDS.
That is big. That is
usually
NDS
is
even.
Like way
yeah.
across
yeah, yeah.
ahead of everybody. It must be that redesign.
It is a sleek looking system.
I do like the redesign.
I do too.
Quite a bit myself.
And I feel like most people who have a Wii want one, and enough people have heard about the 3DS that they're like, I'm not going to buy
That's
a
true,
DS.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, we'll wait. I'll hold off on the 3DS.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you got 360 with whatever, 444,000 units sold. Then the DS and Wii. Then PlayStation 3.
All right.
Then PSP, way, way, way back there.
Oh God, how many units did the PSP sell?
84,000. Still, I think that's amazing.
That's actually pretty impressive. That's way more than I would have thought.
I just can't believe there are 84,000. I mean, that's just this month.
And how are there 84,000 people out
I know,
there
I
who
just,
walk that stupid
I never,
system?
Hey, hey, hey.
We've gone down this
road. I read your preview for you.
The insulting PSP hurts Ryan's feelings.
Then over on the software side of things, people like that NCAA football.
They do enjoy the
football.
There's not a whole lot else coming out in July, but yeah.
That's true.
July and August are football months.
Do you think 2 months in a row that football games will be number one? Because you think Madden will be this month?
Oh, yeah. No doubt about it.
People like their football
games.
Yeah,
apparently. It's that time of year, man.
Who does NCAA football? Is that EA?
It's EA Sports, okay. Yep. Same studio that does Madden, Tiburon down in Orlando. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They put out a good game this year.
Is it basically the same game as Madden, but with a different roster?
Well, no, no. They do different things that are specific to the college sports fan and the NFL fan, and they found that their audience is a little bit more hardcore with NCAA, so they developed more hardcore features there, and then more mainstream and accessible features for Madden.
Okay.
Which actually, this is one of the first years that NCAA got a higher score than Madden. It's usually the other way around, but this year NCAA got an 8.5 and Madden got an 8. So, I like NCAA.
Well, it didn't get an 8 on the Wii version, did it?
It did not get an 8 on the Wii version. Mm. The Wii version got a 7.5.
Oh, yeah. So what was hurting the Wii version?
A lot of the same stuff as last year. Just they didn't improve much. The new franchise mode didn't really work out the way they wanted it to. Online multiplayer is still kind of lacking. I don't know what's up with Wii and its stupid lack of online, like, functioning multiplayer.
What is up with that?
It's 2010, people. Like, they're not HD. They don't have online multiplayer going. What is this?
They're protecting
your
children.
It's called the Wii.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sure is.
They laughed at me.
I don't get it.
I was also surprised to see Crackdown 2, number 3.
Number 3, though, with, like, pretty sad sales still.
What was it, 180?
210, basically.
210. Which isn't, like, awful, right?
But it's, it's better than I thought that game was going to sell.
Yeah, that game is not great.
It's very
phenomenal.
Much the same as the first, and not even as good as the first.
You can tell it's a slow month, though, when...
Same as the first.
Yeah, you can tell it's a slow month when you can be third and only have 200 and some odd thousand and be third. Like, it's a pretty slow month.
Yeah.
Nobody.
Summer months.
Yeah.
Then you got Mario Galaxy 2 in there still, number 4. But then number 5
Red Dead. What about Red Dead? Where's that?
Well, I'm getting there.
Okay, sorry.
Number 5 is Lego Harry Potter on the DS. Both the DS and the Wii versions of Lego Harry Potter on the top 10. No, not the 360 or PS3 SKUs.
Well, it's the audience, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, everybody... Harry Potter is pretty universal. Plenty of adults like Harry Potter, right?
Yeah,
but I guess the Lego brand...
The Lego thing even younger than...
Yeah, yeah. That's true. Yeah, then Red Dead is number 6, sandwiched in between.
How much is that so? How many units?
On the 360 version, they don't give the exact numbers for 6 through 10.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they only give the exact numbers. I know.
Do we have full numbers yet? I mean, we can't talk about full numbers, but do we have them in the office?
They should be in your email.
Okay.
That's how we knew that a little game called Arkrise Fantasia sold 11,000 copies.
Yeah.
Anthony, have you ever played Arkrise Fantasia?
Have I played it?
Yeah, have you ever played this game?
I have.
You're
gay. Yeah. I played a whole lot of Arkrise Fantasia.
Your review went up today.
It did.
The world has been waiting. The world can exhale now.
Yeah, I'm going to guess that you gave it just by looking at the game, 7.0.
I gave it a 6.5.
That's close. You're in the ballpark.
I am in the
That's
ballpark.
A sports analogy.
Yeah.
Wait, that was me. Well done. Wait, let me hit it out of the ballpark. Ready?
Well, we didn't hit anything out of the ballpark, though.
Yeah, I guess not.
Unless you're saying my analogy hit it out of the ballpark. Yeah. In which case, I say cheers.
Yeah. Yes.
Then tell us about Arkrise Foundation.
I mean, it's my first JRPG, which I said in my review. You know, full disclosure as far as
that goes.
That's
good.
Because, I mean, I've played an hour or so of Chrono Trigger, and I've played an hour or so of Final Fantasy VII once. So... I mean, I always kind of avoided JRPGs because I assumed that they'd be so slow that I'd be bored. And I'd always watch Ryan do it, and that always seemed to seem
really boring.
Really true. But now that I tried it myself, I was like, oh, actually, I kind of can get into the whole zoning out.
And you weren't even grinding, playing just an extremely good one.
Right. That's what I'm saying. So if anything, like, it's like what I said in my review is, like, this one has a really bad story. Like, it's so cliched. It's like about, like, a guy.
They're all so cliched.
Who's like a, you know, a teen.
Who's like a teen.
From the guy who reviews Madden every year.
That doesn't mean it's not cliched.
Well, there are plenty of stories that are cliched, right? Like, BioWare tells stories in a lot of ways that are, like, you know, you're like, oh, I've heard this 1,000 times, but they do it in such a cool way that it's good, you know, but, like, this is like, you know, you're a teen with angst.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is it up to you to save the world?
It is up to you to save the world. But you didn't know because you thought...
Is there a love interest?
And you thought you were just a normal soldier.
Yeah.
But it turns out you can finally...
You were meant for bigger things.
Exactly. And your love interest is also from a rival kingdom. Of course.
Never going to work out.
Yeah.
No.
That's never going to work.
But yeah, I mean... But I did find that the combat was pretty interesting. And I do like the whole... maxing out my character stats and tweaking their armor
grinding.
And all that.
The grinding part,
I do. I now I know certain JRPG terms. So if that's what I'm saying, this one is probably great for people that have a Wii only and are like, man, I wish I had an RPG like that I could play. This is like the ticket for you until something better comes out.
There aren't a lot of JRPGs on the Wii.
Yeah, that's the bottom line.
Rank
strange for a Japanese system.
You've played a JRPG or 2 million in your time.
I have.
So now that
2 million might be an exaggeration.
Anthony has popped his JRPG cherry, so to speak.
Oh, boy, that's just nasty.
Hey, Nate said it. what would you recommend to him now?
You have a PS3 or only a 360?
I have everything.
Everything. Okay. I cannot recommend enough, and I'm really serious about this. As Folklore. A friend and as a
9.0.
Go and buy or borrow the PS3 version of Eternal Sonata and play that.
I've heard that.
For the PS3 version?
Why the PS3 version?
The PS3 version, they added a bunch of story segments that didn't make it into the 360 version, which totally helped the story told.
I feel like I'm more inclined to... what if I wanted a portable one because I have a really long flight coming up?
Chaos Rings on iPhone.
No.
What about Dragon Quest 9?
Don't listen to Nate.
Chaos Rings is boring. It's really not all that.
Oh, I like it.
No, it's not all that. It looks pretty, but it's not.
I would actually recommend... You have a DS, right?
I have a DS and a PSP.
I would recommend getting the Final Fantasy VI Advance.
But we're annoying the listeners by not having two different conversations. Let's listen to Ryan.
Oh, I didn't even realize we were. That was probably terrible for them to listen to.
Well, now I want
to
know what the review of Angry Birds
is. It was like an 8 or something.
Oh, man.
Final Fantasy VI Advance is what you're
saying. Final Fantasy VI Advance. If you want to have like a taste of one of the original classic JRPGs, play that, because... GBA game, you plug it right into the bottom. Yeah. Okay. Bottom of your DS, you know, anything scandalous.
All right.
Do that.
I want to blow stuff up.
No, Nate usually recommends people put it in the bottom, too. He's been known for that.
What?
Wow. You've recommended people do that on a Knock-A-Boost podcast before.
Put it in the bottom, too?
Yeah.
I don't know what that means. Really? Really?
All right. I can probably guess.
All right. Is that the JRPG wrap up?
That's Eternal Sonata or
that
Final Fantasy
VI? That is your JRPG 6. Minute.
Yeah.
Sponsored by Hanes.
I was expecting Old Spice or something.
All right, we've gotten the word on the fourth batch of downloadable content for Borderlands. I like Borderlands.
We've got
some Borderlands fans.
I like Borderlands, totally.
I'm just sad because I deleted my 360 saves.
Accidentally.
How did you accidentally do that? I don't want to talk about it, but it's just, long story short, I had this one character that I had taken
Are you sure you want to delete? Yes, okay,
through
sure.
the main game and through all the DLC, and it now
is,
it's like...
That's terrible.
It is ridiculously easy to accidentally delete that
really?
Information.
Yeah, and so now it's like I'm going to have to play the new DLC with like a less than awesome character.
That would really...
But I am excited for it, especially because it features Claptraps.
Yeah, this one's called Claptraps New Robot Revolution. Players attempt to stop a mechanical uprising from an army of homicidal claptraps, led by Ninja Assassin. Hey, Ryan Clements, how was that Ninja Assassin movie?
Ninja Assassin is not the greatest movie of all
My
time.
My favorite part of Ninja Assassin is when ninjas are encroaching upon the guy in the darkness and they're whispering things as they do when they're approaching, and one of them just whispers, "Ninja."
No way! Yeah. Are you serious?
My favorite thing is when he is doing inverted stand-up push-ups on a bed of spikes. Wow. I was like, you know, I need to work out more. That was one of my like
really
cues.
Get off my ass and do something.
Claptrap's new robot revolution will include 20 new missions, an additional 10 skill points for a total of 71 available skill tree points, and 3 new backpack slots.
Oh,
all for the low price of $10.
Ninja.
And that will be out this September.
I'm excited for that, man.
What is out right now, Ryan Clements?
Okay, calm down, man.
You are silly.
You are just so saucy today.
Who was that? That put me over the edge. That was too good.
Well,
Giggle Guts over here.
Giggle Guts.
Giggle Guts.
Isn't Monday Night Combat is out now?
Yes.
Yeah, 8.0.
Nate, you seem to like that.
Scott Pilgrim came out this week, too.
I was going to go to that, but then Anthony brought up Monday Night Combat, so we should mention that, too.
Monday Night Combat.
We three, Nate, Anthony, and myself, have all played Monday Night Combat.
Yep.
We all enjoy it. That game is fun.
Yeah, it's great. It's very fun.
I think it's really cool.
Good team-based game, Xbox Live.
Yeah. It's like a third-person shooter with...
You are a baboon today, Ryan Clements.
I know. Ryan Clements cannot get it together, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, I can get it together.
Bring it together.
I'm not allowed to have
Bring
a good time
together.
On the podcast?
No.
All right. Fine.
Do you think you could show Nate your new dance move right now?
Not right now.
Just call me a new dance move.
Yeah, right? I did.
Well, the feet slapper.
What do you call your new Thai dance move?
I don't know. I'm sure I didn't create it. I'm sure I got it off
Listeners,
of some video.
Ryan Clements has a great new necktie dance move. You should bug him to show it to you. Bug him to post a video of it on Facebook or something.
While wearing the Master Chief helmet.
Yeah, that would be good. Anyway, Monday Night Combat is good. Next week comes out Lara Croft and the Guardian of Light, and that game is really, really
good.
Damon
and I have been playing that. It's very good.
Well, Anthony just played a bunch with me, too.
All right, all right.
Apparently, I only play games with Nate and
Yeah,
Anthony.
Well,
that is an excellent game.
That game is super, super fun. My review will go up Monday morning, but you can expect it to be very, very positive, and you should definitely download that game. If you have a PS3, though, wait a couple weeks, because it'll come out with online co-op play on PS3. It'll get patched for the 360, but it's still, you know, still super, super fun game.
Online co-op will be in the 360 version then.
Eventually. They patch it when it comes out on PS3.
Okay, cool. Okay. That's good.
Great, great fun. Best Tomb Raider game in a long, long time.
Yep.
Also came out this week, Scott Pilgrim vs. the World, the game, came out on PS3. That'll be out on 360 in a few weeks, too. The movie comes out today. Ryan Clements, you saw the movie.
Yes.
I saw the movie a few weeks ago, and we talked about it briefly, but
yes.
Give the listeners an update. Remind the listeners they should absolutely go see this movie this weekend, right?
Absolutely.
And really sell them on it. Really sell them.
All right. This is probably the best movie I've seen in years. I had an incredible time going to see it. I think even if you haven't read the books...
I have not read the books, and I loved it.
I feel like you can go in there as a gamer, especially, and be this is a movie for gamers.
That's
and
cool.
Even if you remotely like the idea of like going up against a series of bosses, mm-hmm. which honestly
is
an iconic staple in video games. There's like Metal Gear Solid does it, like anime does it, even like the Seven Samurai type of thing. Like it's all over the place. It's classic. It works so well.
That's cool.
It's amazing.
It's one of the most fun movies I've ever seen.
Oh, I actually was laughing so hard. It was one of those things where I was starting to have stomach pains. Just
that's what I was saying. Like the books, I would imagine, aren't quite that funny, right? Like I'm sure the books are awesome.
Yeah, they're.
But it's directed by Edgar Wright.
Yeah.
From Hot Fuzz and Shaun of the Dead, and he's like a comedic master. So I imagine he brought a lot of that comic sensibility to the movie.
Well, a lot of the dialogue that's like laugh out loud funny in the movie is pulled right from O'Malley's work, though. So. I think it's the combination of their two energies together creates that comedy. Brilliant.
It's a really, really good movie. I'll be really interested to see. Like, my dad's a big movie buff. He sees just about everything. I'll be really interested to see what he thinks of it. Like, he's 55.
I don't know if it's going to go over so well.
I don't know. Like, it is a very, like, young, youth-oriented, like, gamer generation sort of movie, so... I don't know. What now?
Your dad can go see The Expendables.
you saw Expendables last night.
I saw it last night. That movie is like a video game movie in its own right.
It's like Rogue Warrior, right?
Well, in a sense, it's like if you took all of the heroes from all of the Call of Duty games and put them in one movie together. Because they really are like Call of Duty guys. Like each of them kills like 90 people.
Yeah.
It's just absurd. And not only that, but there's one point in the movie where they must have had to shoot it like 20 times. Stallone is firing an automatic pistol and reloading a clip like 2 seconds, every 2 seconds. Like he's just doing it over and over again.
Yeah.
I was like, this is like watching a video game.
Yeah.
But if you can enjoy really, really stupid stuff and really, really gratuitous violence, you will enjoy this movie.
It
sounds like The Last Rambo.
Yeah,
it has some very Rambo moments. Yeah. You know, there's like the not the Old Spice guy. I forget that guy's name,
Terry Crews.
Yeah, he's an awesome character in that movie, and man, I think it's worth seeing. But I would be a little upset if you have to pay like nighttime prices
really?
To see it.
Okay,
yeah.
Maybe I'll wait. Maybe I'll Netflix it.
That seems like the perfect movie to have some drinks before you go to watch.
That would be true because everyone in the theater midnight was laughing rather than taking it seriously. Everyone just thought it was hilarious. So
that was the drink stuff.
So also to go along with Scott Pilgrim versus the World, the movie this week, the game is also out this week. Has amazing art style, amazing music. It's like it's a 4-player beat 'em up.
It's like
very much
style,
like
though, right?
TMNT,
River City Ransom.
Yeah, that sort of game.
Rage.
That like gameplay gets a little old for me after a while.
Yeah,
like, doesn't really
fight.
Like. I'll play it for a little bit, and then I'm like, okay.
Is it two button command, like jump?
You have
and attack.
A light and a heart attack,
right.
And like,
yeah,
kinda,
yeah.
You can learn new moves. You like you get experience points when you kill people and learn new moves, but that's about as deep as it gets. So it doesn't really like grab me, but I love to look at that game. I love to listen to the music. Those are both amazing.
With that said, there are a lot of people in the office that have said that they love playing it like for hours on end.
Sure, yeah, it's
including
just I was just talking about me. Yeah.
Yeah.
It also doesn't have online co-op, though, and no drop-in, drop-out, which is really disappointing. For a game like that, why can't someone just walk up and say, hey, I want to join in with you guys? Like, that was a big mess. But a very cool game to be checked out. What's going on with the third birthday, Ryan?
Third birthday has...
What the hell is that?
Mysteriously disappearing clothes.
The character does.
Yeah. So third birthday is the, as you guessed it, third birthday of the Parasite Eve franchise. So they're going back to this.
I guessed it. But it isn't the third. What do you mean by third birthday?
It's the third Parasite Eve game.
Oh, it is. Okay.
And it's like, it's the rebirth. It's the rebirth of the franchise.
Is it Parasite Eve: Third Birthday?
No, it's actually just, I think it's just called the third birthday. Which is very interesting that they're doing that. Maybe they'll, maybe in when it actually comes out in America, it'll be Parasite Eve: Third Birthday. Mm-hmm. But the recurring character in the series, Aya Bray, she's this beautiful detective. Maybe in one of the old games, yeah. But she's like a detective for, I want to say NYPD, I'm not sure. I think it's in New York. But she's back, and apparently in this game.
PS3 360?
PSP.
PSP only?
Yeah.
I'm not playing it.
All right. But wait. But wait. When she takes damage, her clothes disintegrate.
Ooh, oh, yeah. Does that
just play it? Or at least I'll watch a movie of it.
Yep.
That is an interesting damage system.
Parasite Eve, just for the people like me that don't remember, is that the survival horror series that always had like turn-based combat?
It didn't have turn-based combat. It was kind of action-based, but it was more akin to Resident Evil than it was an RPG or something. Even though it was a Square Enix developed in the day?
I think so, yeah.
It might have been Square.
Yeah,
it might have been
Square.
Well, yeah, Square or something.
So it was like 98 or 99, and this is back when, like, before I worked in the game industry, when I would sneak into
E3. You're a young buck.
I would like sneak myself in E3, and I remember going to the Square booth, whichever year that was, and sitting down and like seeing the demo for, or it was just the trailer for the first Parasite Eve, and my mind was so blown. Like the CGI was so good, it was like
amazing.
I was like Double Rainbow, all the way.
That was back when games like Dino Crisis were still cool.
Exactly.
Too,
right? I actually wouldn't mind if they updated Dino Crisis. If they made a new Dino Crisis for like 360 PS3 today, I think that could be cool. No? You know? No sale?
Nah.
No sale.
Dinosaurs died a long time ago.
Dinosaurs died a long time ago.
They've been dead for a long time. For a reason, people.
You're right about that.
I'm out of this.
So did American football.
What?
I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. It was a joke. I just wanted to make
tell you what,
listeners, Ryan Clements looked at Nate very seriously.
Freaking window. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I was joking.
And there's a window right there.
I was joking.
Nate uses a shake weight, okay?
Yeah.
I know.
It's at my desk.
You could kick my butt.
So QuakeCon is going on right now. We have men in the field right there right now. Eric Brudvig.
Or at least Jim Riley's there.
Jim Riley and Eric Brudvig are both there. Checking out. Apparently, Rage was shown running on an iPhone.
Excited for that.
And looking amazing.
I'm
by the
so
way.
Pumped for
it's
that.
It's just a tech demo at this point.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it is releasing this coming,
year.
It is coming out.
Before the game. Before
and
the actual
and they
game
could
is
license the tech to
right
whoever, too.
Which Unreal is doing
so,
as well, Unreal 3.
Yeah. Anyone who hasn't been following Rage, this is the next big amazing first-person shooter from id. The guys that do Doom.
And it looks awesome, and it plays very well.
Yeah, it was our game of E3, game of the show at E3. Mm-hmm. And so now they showed it running on an iPhone, and Eric Brudvig, his direct quote was, "It looks fantastic." He says he had a first-person view with the player exploring an indoor environment typical of what you'd expect in Rage. The textures looked great, although naturally the polygon count and animations were reduced. So John Carmack from id, the developer, said Rage is going to be hundreds of megabytes on iPhone.
It's not that weird. He makes it sound like it's some weird thing for an iPhone game to be that big. There are lots of iPhone games that are hundreds of megabytes.
I have no idea how big iPhone games are. But he says the tech is scalable, so it also runs great on like a 2G iPhone.
Right.
Which I find that hard to believe. I find that hard to believe.
Anthony is one of the few people I know who still has the original iPhone in his possession.
Yeah.
We were comparing
but we
screens
were just
earlier.
Talking, we were
it
just talking
like
about how he's thinking.
Up on
he's
his
thinking.
Screen.
He's ready. He's ready
oh,
to make
yes,
the jump.
He is. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I am.
Should do it for sure. Carmack says he wants this to be a glamorous game that people will use to show their friends as a way of proving their iPhone and iPad can display great graphics, that sort of thing. Mm. So yeah, the tech demo is going to be released for cheap this year as kind of a show-off piece. And then a full Rage game for iPhone and iPad is coming next year when the actual game launches, which we actually got the release date today.
Oh, nice.
Ryan Clements wrote a news story.
I did.
Rage is coming. Going to be released September 13th, 2011.
Oh, wow.
States.
That's late.
Here in the States, yeah.
It is, September 15th. If it came out earlier in the year, you'd have to compete with things like Gears and
Killzone.
No one wants to do, and Killzone. No one wants to do that.
Yeah.
And Crysis. I mean, those are all coming out in the beginning
what
of the year.
What is Crysis? I saw it got redated today.
It's also, I think it's in March of next year.
That sounds right.
So it's like, you know, and Dead Space coming out in the beginning of the year. No one wants to compete with all these shooters.
Jeez, man.
Rare for a game... a specific release date to be announced more than a year
oh, yeah.
more than a year out.
Yeah.
That could change.
Well, BioShock and Ridge.
Well, BioShock has an exact date?
No, but 2012. I mean, 2012 is
well,
way.
Yeah.
It's way
that's,
you know.
Yeah, that's a ways off.
And Irrational will probably get delayed. But.
Listeners, your fellow listener, Aiden Sargent, wants to share a code for Miss Pac-Man on Xbox Live Arcade for you. I thought that was very cute. First of all, where'd you get a code for Miss Pac-Man?
Right?
Yeah.
That was like a launch title for the 360 on Xbox Live Arcade way back in 2006, right?
They put the code in, it just starts this virus program up on your 360.
That's really what he wants to share.
All right, well, so enter this code with caution, listeners. If you have fast fingers, you'll be the first to enter this code. You can get yourself Miss Pac-Man, the most exciting game of the year for your Xbox Live Arcade. Here we go. Actually, I want British Ryan Clements to read this code.
I don't know if I can do specific letters and numbers.
We're going to find out.
Hello, Scoop Crew. Here's a code for my fellow listeners to share. VJ7PK-HP3YM- see, I can't do it. You're doing it well. It's starting to turn Indian.
Now you've broken the code. Now you have to start over. Start over.
With British start over?
Or not, or just screw him over.
Okay. Well, yeah, okay.
Let's see if they can keep up.
F9-7PC-82P-87-HM-7H8.
You're so sassy with your code reading there.
H8.
All right, that's it, right?
Yes. Is it a squeal? All right. Squeal.
Thank you for sharing that with us, Aiden.
I hope I read it right. I was concentrating on the accent.
If anyone is able to redeem that code, make sure you send good vibes to Aiden Sargent.
Much good karma.
Let's knock some boots.
Let's do that. I love knocking boots.
I know you do, Nate. I know you do. This is Luke Kingsbury, and he has a problem that is going to make Ryan Clements' jaw drop.
Done.
This is a very troubling. He's a troubled individual. Luke Kingsbury is. I take personal offense to his problem. Ryan Clements, it will also take personal offense, and also, I mean, everyone else will too. But his. His situation appeals directly to mine and Clements' sensibilities. Okay. Let Luke explain. He says, my name is Rome. Luke Kingsbury in the from line, so whatever. He's either Luke Kingsbury or his name is Rome. Anyway, he says, I'm 28 years old, big fan of all things scoopiness. I have a dilemma. I've started to notice every time my girlfriend goes down on me, or even sometimes when I put my nightstick in her nurse hole, my manly instrument will start to lose its hardness. I don't blame this on her, as she is a 23-year-old Japanese dancer and is really attractive, and her knockin' boots technique is second to none. I think maybe it could be my thought distractions, as I'm generally thinking about what time I need to go to work, or etc. I just want to know if you guys have ever had similar problems.
So you, by the way, you made it sound like you and I have like erectile dysfunction
problems.
Oh, I'm
sorry. That was not what I was saying at all. What I mean is, Ryan Clements
by the way, for that one. I will never be able to live that down now. I pray that Hillary just never listens to this.
No. What I was meaning that Ryan Clements
appreciate beautiful Japanese women.
Exactly.
That's
what I was saying. Yeah.
And all girls. South Asian women. Mm-hmm. And all women.
Yes. Ryan Clements thinks every woman is a 10. He has said as much.
Well, first of all, hats off to this kid for landing a 23-year-old dancer.
F this kid at the same time.
He's obviously not appreciating it for what he's got.
No. This is where the Game Scoop crew gets all in a testosterone tizzy and doesn't give proper advice. All right? This is a serious problem one that is most likely completely psychological. He says thought distractions. That's the first thing that comes to his head. I automatically assume that it might be stress-oriented.
Or ADD,
might be psychological.
Man.
It might be a number of different actual disorders.
Is he worried about pleasuring this girl because she's so attractive? Is he worried about living up to what she expects?
There could be a ton of
things.
And this sort of thing, when it comes to keeping yourself aloft, that's all psychological. If there's a psychological problem, that can absolutely impact a sex life. So I'd recommend, first of all, try something that you yourself can do, like doing breathing exercises
all,
or
don't
meditation.
Don't be hammered.
No, actually, I would give different advice.
Really? I think hammered makes it a little spaghetti-like.
Not in my experience.
No?
I'm just saying.
Well, anyway.
Hammered can be...
It can be good.
The whole thing is, Ryan's right, though, is that stress... and arousal don't go side by side. Right. They are absolutely polar opposites. So when you're very stressed, it hurts that it hurts your libido.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You should see a doctor.
I was going to say there's medication for this too.
Don't lose this girl.
It doesn't necessarily need it.
Let her go.
But if meditation and breathing exercises and just trying to keep yourself calm and chill, if that doesn't work, then maybe you should talk to like a psychiatrist or a therapist. If it might be something that's psychological. You never know.
You know, this does bring up a good point about the male psyche. That something that we cannot help, but that no matter how hot she is, eventually one day you will get tired of sleeping with this woman.
Mm-hmm. Like, I kind of disagree a little bit.
Yeah, we're wrong.
No, it's true.
Reggie Bush got tired of
that's ridiculous.
Kim Kardashian. I'm just saying, like. It doesn't matter how hot she is. That's just the way we work after a million years, however long it takes.
Psychologically, there will always be a grass is greener on the other side.
Right.
That's something we have to struggle with our entire lives.
That part is true. I'm just saying that the flames can always be rekindled.
That is true, too. That is also true. It takes work.
Yes. And like anything in a relationship, a lot of effort is required. Mm-hmm. That's all I have to say.
Luke/Rome Kingsbury, sort this out. You do not lose this hot 23-year-old Japanese dancer.
Unless her personality isn't good.
Well,
maybe you can lose her, but even still, probably not.
I'm the only one that gives, like, this hokey-pokey advice.
Ryan,
she's not nice to me.
I am right there with you, Ryan. I am a total softy when it comes to these sort of things.
Hey, so. I'm not
total softy? Do you get it?
Yes.
Well done. You knocked that one out of the park.
Yeah, anybody?
Yeah, that's what I thought.
All right, and with that, let's check in with the listeners. This is Chess Malone. Chess is a pretty cool name, I think.
I like Chess. Yeah. It's spelled like the game?
Yeah.
Hey, Damon, checkmate.
Chess Checkmate Malone. It's like a detective name.
Yeah,
Chess says, I'm sure a lot of people are going through the same issue as me right now, what with school beginning and all. Hopefully, y'all can help. I arrive on campus, happy to begin a new chapter in my life, but what's this? No Xbox Live in this building.
What?
Not enough MTUs.
MTUs, constant struggle.
What are MTUs?
No idea.
Okay. So is there any way I can somehow access Live, or equally important, PSN in my room? You must understand this holiday season can't be missed. If there's absolutely no way to do this, perhaps just recommend some great single-player games that will eat up some time. I have no way. I have no idea how to get around this.
I don't think you can. If he's in a dorm, I think it's something that they have limited in his dorm.
They limited your bandwidth.
Yeah,
is that what it is?
It's just not going to.
I was going to say if it's a bandwidth issue, that's one thing. Or if it's like an issue with him just not having enough ports, get a hub or something. Like I don't know. I just don't know what an MTU is.
Yeah, I don't either. But we can recommend good single player games that will take up a lot of your time
for sure
this holiday season.
Like any JRPG.
Well, what good JRPGs coming out?
Recently?
None at all.
Well, I was talking about this holiday season. I was going to recommend Fallout New Vegas.
Okay,
that will be a single-player game that will take forever to be.
This is, he said, 360, right?
Or PS3.
Or PS3.
Fable 3.
Fable 3.
That should be good, too.
I mean, Final Fantasy 13 is pretty cool.
Yeah, not a lot of love for that one.
In the office.
Yeah. This is from Lord Bahamut S. Dragons. Writer, philosopher, programmer, and game designer.
Ooh. Wow.
Why is he listening to Game Scoop?
Hey, Game Scoop crew, love the show. I have a question. Why do people consider it legit to release sports games every single year, and with them making the top 10 sales, but music games like Guitar Hero are just frowned upon? I hear you talking about the DLC potential of music games, but it seems to me they could do the same thing with Madden, and yet I never hear any criticism of it.
Are you kidding? There's criticism of Madden like crazy. Everybody criticizes.
Not only that, but Madden doesn't have peripherals either that go along with it.
Yeah. I mean, also, there's
okay,
usually,
they criticize
yearly...
Madden, but then it's going to be the best-selling game this month, right?
Yeah. Well, same thing can be said with Call of Duty, with Assassin's Creed now. All these yearly franchises that they're just sucking the money out of.
Annualizable.
Yeah, right, exactly. Sorry, it took me a minute to process what you said. It's an epidemic that's happening in the industry.
An epidemic?
It is. It's a real problem. I hate it.
So you don't want a new Madden every year?
No. Okay. I would prefer them not do a Madden.
I think Madden would be much better. They could just... had more than 8 months to make a game.
Well, the problem is EA Sports. Yeah, exactly. And the problem is EA Sports can't make up the 5 or 6 million units that they, that's like a huge hole in their balance sheet if they were to skip Madden 1 year.
Yeah.
Like, wow, where's this hundreds of millions of dollars that we made last year that's not here anymore?
Yeah. But they could update the roster through DLC. If they just release a Madden game, next year they could update the roster, right?
Right, yep.
I mean, that's feasible.
They do that now.
And that would be
they
nice.
They do roster updates, like, through the year.
For the previous year? Or just throughout the year?
Well, throughout the year. Like, if there's a trade made, they'll release a roster update.
Okay, that's interesting. But also I can see, you know, like, sports have a season, like, they, you know, they come and go every year,
right?
Where music game, like, music doesn't have an equivalent to that. So maybe I can see why that there's less criticism. You know? Anthony doesn't agree.
I hate annual franchises. I hate them just out of hand. No good reason.
This is Pavel Brodsky. I've been an avid listener from around, yes, Nate?
MTU, Maximum Transmission Unit. The Xbox Live service requires your home network have a certain maximum transmission unit. Mm. While this technical detail can normally be ignored in home networking, MTU values are important to the performance of online games. If this test fails, you can adjust the MTU setting on your network router or equivalent device to resolve the problem.
Maybe his dorm specifically limits it to make people not play games.
Right. Yeah.
Which is BS.
It takes up a lot of bandwidth.
Stupid.
Anyway, can Pavel continue?
Yes, please.
He says, my question is this. Do you take particular interest in checking out other reviews of games that you yourself reviewed? Or do you maybe like to look at sites like Metacritic or GameStats?
Metacritic.
What would Metacritic be?
Jiminy Metacritic. Jiminy Metacritic.
I am the Metacritic. I am Metacritic.
The sound of Metacritic.
All of our GameScoop artists out there, I think you found your next GameScoop artwork.
Yep.
And we need to see what the Metacritic looks like. So he wants to know if we want to see how close our review score is to the average one. Or do we care about other reviews at all?
I do.
You do like, I other sites?
Never before I review a game, but always after. I like.
Exactly.
By the way, did it pause when I slapped the table? Yep. Are we still good?
In general, I think it's a good idea to wait till afterwards a lot of times. Yeah. Just so your opinion isn't influenced or something. But I sometimes look, but I mean, sometimes it's interesting to see if you're like totally
way off from everyone. Yeah, I look at Metacritic. I look at Metacritic. I don't go to like specific sites to look at
the
scores. I just want to see how my score compares to the average.
Right.
That's interesting.
Yep.
You, Clements, you agree with that?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. This is Kevin Lower. Lower.
Probably Lower. Let's go Lower.
What are some of the most annoying missing features in your favorite gaming hardware? Example, no DVD support in the Wii. For me, it's the lack of a 3.5mm headphone jack on the GBA SP. I still use it to play older Game Boy Color games, and being unable to use my favorite headphones kind of sucks.
I can't really.
I know. I'm not playing my GBA SP too much these days. Overall, I think the consoles I use, 360 and PS3, have way more features than any other console I've ever had. So I have no complaints there.
I mean, I can think of one, which is just that the Wii doesn't have a digital audio out jack. That kind of annoys me.
Yeah.
But.
Or HD. That's also sort of a big thing.
It's true. Justin Walters. Scoop! I've been an avid listener of all your antics for many years now. You've been with me from my days as a lowly art student all the way to the present, where I'm a professional in the games industry. Games industry is capitalized, by the way.
Ooh.
I'd like to think your scoops gave me the extra edge I needed when on my job hunt. My question is about GDC 2011 in San Francisco. Mm. I'm planning on hitting up SF for a week or so for this upcoming GDC. Even though it isn't until this upcoming March, I'm getting ready to book my trip now. Having never been to your fair city, I thought I'd turn to the trustworthy minds of IGN GameScoop to ask for suggestions on cool areas to book a hotel.
Oh, man. Well, if you're really concerned about attending a lot of GDC, I'd say go book a hotel downtown. Be close to GDC. It's also a fun place to be.
The GDC Muscogee hotel Center. Is the W.
Right.
Yeah. Well, that's where everybody stays. Hotel.
It is very pricey. It's also very nice.
It is a great hotel.
That's where a lot of people stay. And that's where all the parties are.
Yeah.
That's where the
W bar every night of GDC.
I freaking like love Ryan Geddes, the W bar.
Like Ryan Geddes said, if a wormhole ever opened in the W bar during GDC, the game industry would be ruined. There would be no game developers left to make any games.
Kudo Tsunoda outside the W, just hammered as all hell, smoking cigarettes, which I don't do anymore. But
thank you.
It was a great memory. It was a great. Yes. Yes. I quit.
You quit?
I quit.
Oh, that's good.
For months, I haven't had a cigarette.
That's awesome.
For months.
Congrats.
Yeah.
That is good.
I was worried about you.
Mm-hmm.
The Moscone Center, where GDC is held, is in Soma. So look for, hotels around Soma.
There are lots of hotels around the center.
There's cheap hotels. There's nice cheap hotels, too. There's one called the Good Hotel, which is just a couple blocks from Moscone. And that's where Levi Buchanan stays when he comes in town to visit, and he loves it. It's
nice.
And it's cost effective.
If you get somebody in walking distance to the W, you'll be good.
Exactly.
Get nice and hammered and then walk to your hotel.
Justin says, more importantly, I need to ask if you guys are planning on partying at GDC.
Oh, yeah, buddy.
I'd love to get panned with you guys. We're always down. We're always partying. But specifically, we're always partying during GDC, for sure.
We'll all be going nuts.
Not that you can say which ones at this point, because it's always like what games are coming out and what parties they have.
Yeah. But like this previous GDC party was the amazing True Crime party where Greg got kicked in the head by a pole dancer.
It was great.
It was fantastic.
Bummed I missed that.
This is Brian Jerenowicz. Despite all this debate over Kinect and Move, I don't think I've heard anybody mention what I think could be a major advantage Kinect has over Move.
Oh, man.
Especially when it comes to the hardcore gaming market, which I'm a part of. Have any of you heard or seen any information as to whether Kinect could be used as an extension to the existing 360 controller? For example, say in some first-person shooter, you could control the game normally with a controller for aiming and moving and whatnot, but in addition to this, be able to lean around corners in-game by leaning in real life, or throw a grenade by making an overhand throwing motion, or bash with your gun by shoving the controller forward. This to me seems like a no-brainer way of improving upon many hardcore games without going overboard and removing all controls in lieu of jumping up and down in front of your TV. Everything that I've seen using Kinect seemed to take an all-or-nothing approach, and I feel like this is a big mistake. I feel this is a big difference that could make Kinect more attractive to gamers that have written off motion controls altogether by combining the best of both methods.
That's not a bad idea. I think they said next year, right, we're going to see Kinect implemented in more hardcore ways.
I had heard rumors before Kinect came out that the one of the launch titles was going to be a new version of Steel Battalion for where you were using the controller to move the thing and then pushing all the button interface was
or
done through Kinect.
Wow.
So that I don't sounds, know. I think that the idea that there could be controller combinations could be a really
cool
thing.
I think
it'd
be good, yeah.
It is technically possible that the controller can sync at the same time as Kinect can, correct?
Right.
There's no reason why you couldn't use both at the same time.
Right.
Then, absolutely someone would do that.
That sounds interesting to me.
Yes.
I mean, because every person that owns a 360 is going to own a controller.
Yes. So, why not?
True story.
It's mathematics.
It's science.
This is from Davin.
Ooh. Davin, Davin.
Let's just call
him. Which one do you think it's
for? Let's just call him Davin, Davin.
I think Davin. Davin.
What's up, Davin, Davin?
He's from South Africa.
Really? Ooh. That's a lie.
Okay. Davin, Nate Ahern is calling you out.
That's probably true, because anytime I look and I'm playing games like Halo or something online where you can see a U.S. map,
right. There's always somebody.
It's always one, like, there's a little blob in South Africa.
That's Davin, Davin.
Yeah, it's Davin, Davin.
Repping South Africa.
Says, I consider myself quite the gamer. Just wanted to know, with these surely large amounts of games you play, have you ever started playing a game, then decided to maybe stop halfway through, start playing something else, then after a while start playing the game you'd stop playing again and realize you'd forgotten the controls and storyline? This happened to me recently. I purchased Red Dead a little after it came out. Played it until the part where you get to Mexico. Then it started to get a little boring. Totally agree with you. I purchased and finished Super Mario Galaxy 2. And after that, I got Peace Walker. Couldn't put it down until I finished it. So I decided I would play Red Dead again. Soon realized I'd forgotten the controls and a bit of what happened in the game. Has this ever happened to any of you?
Yes.
Yeah.
That happens.
With games, books. All kinds of things. I start multiple things all the time.
A single movie.
TV shows. I'm seeing TV shows. I'll start like four at once and then forget what's going on. But especially the games where you have to know control schemes because there is no universal shooter control scheme.
In progress games, I aim to return to someday are Final Fantasy 13, Just Cause 2, Borderlands, Dragon Age, Origins.
Yeah, Just Cause 2.
All these games I mean to get back to.
That's such a good game.
I really like
that's
Just
one
Cause
I never
I like
beat
Just Cause
well.
2 a lot. Yeah.
Super Just Cause 2 is great.
This is Robert Sweet. From Coventry, England.
Sweet!
Hello!
Hello!
Hey guys, I'm from England. I never ever download anything illegally, not even music. Excellent. I know a lot of you do not like illegally downloading, but I have a friend from Slovakia, and he downloads his PC games, music, and film. However, in Slovakia, this is not illegal. He states that publishers do not deserve the money, and he knows he can get away with it. In Slovakia, it is not against the law to download free copies, and so my friend gets away with this, and it makes me very annoyed. Do you think this is fair? What are your opinions on this matter, and do you think the law should apply the same everywhere, not in just one country?
I guarantee you that, even if it's not illegal in Slovakia, he's violating international copyright laws.
Yeah,
there are laws that apply even in Slovakia that are international. Your friend doesn't really know what he's talking about. Tell him I said that.
What was the question there?
What do we feel about?
I think it's
downloading stuff.
Yeah, I don't do anything illegal either.
Yeah,
honestly.
I don't do anything illegal either.
I have downloaded.
You little saint.
I don't download things on a regular basis at all.
Okay, I was going to say, I have downloaded music in the past, but usually because
I pay for all my music.
Exactly. Well, if I download it, it's usually because I want to see if I should go out and buy the CD.
That's true. Yeah, I don't do. I hardly ever download. I don't like. I'm not on any like torrent sites or anything like that. But I'm not a Nazi about it. I generally feel that both sides of that issue can relax. Like people who pirate everything should probably realize that a person's work should be compensated for.
Right.
And then rights holders should also relax and realize that you just can't control everything anymore. And people are going to share files.
It's always going to get out. It's
just going to happen. And in some ways, that's a good thing. Like at least people are out there like spreading your work and talking about it.
Because at the end of the day, aren't all these people just doing it so that other people can enjoy their work? I think that's what everybody really cares about. Hopefully.
Hopefully. I'm glad we could settle that issue finally.
Yeah. Put that one to rest.
And that's that.
Close the book on torrents.
This is Alex Cozina. I was wondering, with all your years of gaming behind you guys, what is the longest amount of time that any of you have left a gaming console on for? My longest
many
is
days.
My
many, many
Super
days.
NES, which I left on for 8 days straight.
Whoa.
Back in the day, I felt like I could leave my Super NES on indefinitely, and it didn't matter.
Well, nothing was spinning in there.
Nowadays, I would never do that with my 360.
Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't. Yeah,
I've left my 360 on for a few days at a time.
A few days? Really?
Yeah.
Jeez. Really?
Why?
I don't know, why not?
Because they have a break.
Because 360s break if you like.
I have confidence.
If you come within 2 feet of them, they just shatter. Yeah.
Just explode.
I can't handle it.
You're too close to me.
I wish
initiating explosion.
I wish the consoles talk, especially in Kinect when you start talking to it. 360 play. Okay.
All right, Sam.
Cannot compute.
Time to die.
This is Michael Jones. What's up, guys?
Mike Jones.
Sorry. Well, what is
that? You don't know Mike Jones? I'll play a Mike Jones song right now.
Play it. Right. Cue it up while I read this question here. I've been a keen gamer since the 80s, but recently I've noticed the term industry analyst cropping up a lot in news stories. It annoys me. I don't care if Michael Pachter thinks Modern Warfare can go subscription-based. As game journalists, what are your opinions of these analysts? Are they only there for the good of the business side of the industry, or are they trying to earn their money by piggybacking on an industry that makes a crap ton of money and is usually fairly predictable? Modern Warfare sells lots, so I predict Modern Warfare will sell lots too. I would like to hear your opinion.
Industry analysts exist in every industry, automotive, anything where people are taking
analyzing
significant
trends.
Financial risks.
Yeah, right.
Video games are also significant financial risks.
It's all about
risks.
Predicting what people are going to want, right?
I mean, yeah, they predict everything. Michael Pachter might predict... Like if they had,
and he is accurate, boy. I tell you what,
everyone's off, right? But I mean, if for instance, I'm sure they consult with analysts. Like, if we don't call BioShock Infinite, if we just call it Infinite, would it sell? No, with
BioShock 3,
it'll probably sell like 400,000 more units. So they're like, okay, we'll
call it Infinite.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, I mean, these are what.
What if we just call it the third birthday?
Yeah, exactly.
No, I don't. I bet a lot of modern gamers don't remember Parasite Eve. Like people who just recently got into gaming. So.
For sure.
I think...
Put up your mic. I can probably get down with that.
I'm not impressed.
It's Mike Jones, dude.
There you go. All right, now I need to change it up a little bit. It needs to do something a little different.
I can put on a little K-pop.
Wait for the first verse to drop here.
Well, we could probably move on, though. Is it going to drop right now?
Yeah.
All right, Nate is lip syncing along with every word. He knows it all.
There are times when I'm flipping.
All right, thank you, Nate. That's good. One more email here.
Okay.
Listener Matt McAllister is going to take us out. He says the subject line is "Hope you're happy, Hatfield."
Uh oh.
He says, "Hello, Scoop Crew. I've got a story for you. Plants vs. Zombies cost me my job."
What?
Huh?
I downloaded it on my iPhone because I heard Damon talking about how great it was on a few podcasts. So I lay in my bed around 12 a.m., knowing I have to wake up at 6 a.m. to go to work. I told myself I would play 15 minutes. Next thing I knew, it was 4:30 a.m., so I thought I could catch a quick hour nap. Next time I opened my eyes, it was 2 p.m. Hate the recommendation. Love the show. Keep it up.
That is not a Damon Hatfield problem. That is an irresponsible person problem. Next time, set a second alarm. Chances are, if you got lost your job because you showed up to work late once, it's because you did it more than once.
Yeah, probably true.
You're a slough.
Yeah. Thank you, Anthony.
A slough.
A slough?
Yeah, a sloth. How about I call him a sloth?
Oh, okay.
Sloth.
Sloth?
What's a sloth?
A sloth.
We're moving on.
Okay.
We're moving on to the end of the show. That's all the scoops we have for you this week. Anthony and I are about to bounce to Germany.
Have fun, guys. We're going to miss you.
Hey, well, I miss you guys already.
I do have one question, though, for you.
What's up, Ryan?
Ninja.
It's not a question at all.
I'm sorry.
Ninja.
And on that note, thank you. Thank you, Nate. Thank
you're
you, Ryan.
Welcome.
Thank you, Anthony. My name is Damon. This is IGN GameScoop. And we're out.
One love.
Ninja.
One love? Come get some. See where I live. IGN
GameScoop. Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am extremely excited to invite you to Rachel Uncensored. It's my podcast where I sit down and get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. And sometimes we might be under the influence when we do so. We cover things from personal stories to hot button issues. And it's the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. It's a side of me that you might not have seen before because it's not the most family or brand friendly. But don't worry, I'm still sort of slightly a decent human being. If you're intrigued, then make sure you check it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.